Hello, I'm Chris Stagg and welcome to episode 6 of this series of Words and Sound. In this episode, we'll be looking at a Bram Stoker short story called Dracula's Guest and how it's related to the famous novel. We'll also have a reading from the opening of the piece, and we'll also take a look at more opportunities that you can go for in your creative endeavours. All music today selected by me, and we're going to start it off with a favourite of mine, which is very much telling a story. Now, I absolutely love David Bowie, and the track I'm going to play now is a bit of a Marmite one. There are many, many people out there who really don't like this track, but personally, when I heard it, it blew me away, and it still blows me away when I hear it now. I haven't heard it from ages, and I just listened to it again this morning. Absolutely fantastic, and with great storytelling, every time you read, or in this case listen to the piece, you are rewarded with something new. The whole track is littered with references and symbolism. I highly recommend, once you've heard it a few times, have a think about what it could mean. What does the track mean to you? As no doubt we'll all have different interpretations here, but every time you listen, your experience will be enriched. And if you enjoy it, of course, once you have listened to it a few times, go and seek out the music video, which is stunning. And to call it a music video does it an injustice, as it really is a short film, so colourful and strange and full of more symbolism. Once you've seen it again, watch it a few times, think about what it means to you, then finally try and listen to the album as a whole, which is Black Star. Bowie's final album is beautiful, and hearing this track in the context of the rest will change its meaning again. And do let me know what you think of the track. I'd be really interested to hear your thoughts on this one and what it means to you. I'll give my contact details at the end of the episode. So here it is, the epic Black Star from David Bowie.
We'll be right back. Something happened on the day he died. Spirit rose a meter and stepped aside. Somebody else took his place and bravely cried. I'm a black star, I'm a black star. How many times does an angel fall? How many people lie instead of talking tall? He trod on sacred ground, he cried loud into the crowd.
Sedatives move.
Wow, what a track that is. David Bowie, Black Star. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. It actually gives me chills listening to it. Now it's time to take a look at a short story from Bram Stoker. Stoker, famous of course for his novel and one of my personal favourites, the gothic masterpiece, Dracula. However, he was also a short story writer, and the text we're looking at today is called Dracula's Guest. Dracula was published in 1897, and Dracula's Guest was a short story added to a book of short stories published in 1914 after Stoker's death. The group of stories was titled Dracula's Guest and Other Weird Stories, and all of them were published elsewhere except Dracula's Guest. As a collection, Stoker's widow Florence decided that she would add Dracula's Guest as interest to fans of Stoker's novel. And the reason she did this is because it's believed that Dracula's Guest is actually an original first chapter to the novel Dracula. Now, the two don't match up exactly. Dracula's Guest doesn't end at the start of Dracula, and the narrator is never named as Jonathan Harker, though we can assume it to be. In Florence's own words in the preface to the short story, she states that, to his original list of stories in this book, I've added a hitherto unpublished episode from Dracula. It was originally excised owing to the length of the book and may prove of interest to the many readers of what is considered my husband's most remarkable work. So we know that, whether it was the publisher or Bram Stoker himself, the missing chapter, which is Dracula's Guest, was removed because of the length of the novel. Now, the short story has probably been reworked a little to make it work as a standalone, but certainly Dracula would have been reworked and edited so that the start of the novel actually was the new start. As both a standalone piece and in the context of the novel, Dracula's Guest is an intriguing short, and there are a few ideas that are actually present in the Francis Ford Coppola film, Bram Stoker's Dracula. In the piece I'm going to read to you, our unnamed narrator has left his carriage against the advice of his coachman and is walking in the night to find shelter from a storm when he happens upon an abandoned village. There was something so weird and uncanny about the whole thing that it gave me a turn and made me feel quite faint. I began to wish for the first time that I had taken Johann's advice. Here a thought struck me which came under almost mysterious circumstances, and with a terrible shock. This was Walpurgis Night. Walpurgis Night, when, according to the belief of millions of people, the devil was abroad. When the graves were opened, and the dead came forth and walked. When all evil things of earth and air and water held revel. This very place the driver had specially shunned. This was the depopulated village of centuries ago. This was where the suicide lay, and this was the place where I was alone, unmanned, shivering with cold, in a shroud of snow, with a wild storm gathering upon me. It took all my philosophy, all the religion I had been taught, all my courage not to collapse in a paroxysm of fright. And now a perfect tornado burst upon me. The ground shook as though thousands of horses thundered across it. And this time the storm bore on its icy wings not snow, but great hailstorms, which drove with such violence that they might have come from the thongs of Balearic's slingers, hailstones that beat down leaf and branch, and made the shelter of the cypresses of no more avail than though their stems were standing corn. At the first I had rushed to the nearest tree, but I was soon fain to leave and seek the only spot that seemed to afford refuge, the deep Doric doorway of the marble tomb. There, crouching against the massive bronze door, I gained a certain amount of protection from the beating of the hailstones. For now they only drove against me as they ricocheted from the ground and the side of the marble. As I leaned against the door, it moved slightly and opened inwards. The shelter of even a tomb was welcome in that pitiless tempest. And I was about to enter it when there came a flash of forked lightning that lit up the whole expanse of the heavens. In the instant, as I am a living man, I saw as my eyes were turned into the darkness of the tomb, a beautiful woman, with rounded cheeks and red lips, seemingly sleeping on a bier. As the thunder broke overhead, I was grasped as by the hand of a giant and hurled out into the storm. The whole thing was so sudden that before I could realise the shock, moral as well as physical, I found the hailstones beating me down. At the same time, I had a strange, dominating feeling that I was not alone. I looked towards the tomb. Just then there came another blinding flash, which seemed to strike the iron stake that surmounted the tomb and pour through to the earth, blasting and crumbling the marble as it burst into flame. The dead woman rose for a moment of agony while she was lapped in the flame, and her bitter scream of pain was drowned in the thunder crash. The last thing I heard was the mingling of dreadful sound as I again was seized in the giant grasp and dragged away. While the hailstones beat on me and the air around seemed reverberant with the howling of wolves. The last sight that I remembered was a vague white moving mass, as if all the graves around me had sent out the phantoms of their sheeted dead, and they were closing in on me, though the white cloudiness of the driving hail. Gradually there came a sort of vague beginning of consciousness, then a sense of weariness that was dreadful. For a time I remembered nothing, but slowly my senses returned. My feet seemed positively racked with pain, yet I could not move them. They seemed to be numbed. There was an icy feeling at the back of my neck and all down my spine, and my ears, like my feet, were dead, yet in torment. But there was in my breast a sense of warmth which was, by comparison, delicious. It was as a nightmare, a physical nightmare, if one may use such an expression, for some heavy weight on my chest made it difficult for me to breathe. This period of semi-lethargy seemed to remain a long time. As it faded away, I must have slept or swooned. Then came a sort of loathing, like the first stage of seasickness, and a wild desire to be free from something, I knew not what. A vast stillness enveloped me, as though all the world were asleep or dead, only broken by the low panting as of some animal close to me. I felt a warm rasping at my throat. Then came a consciousness of the awful truth which chilled me to the heart and sent the blood surging up through my brain. Some great animal was lying on me and now licking my throat. I feared to stir, for some instinct of prudence bade me lie still, but the brute seemed to realise that there was now some change in me, for it raised its head. Through my eyelashes I saw above me the two great flaming eyes of a gigantic wolf. Its sharp white teeth gleamed in the gaping red mouth, and I could feel its hot breath, fierce and acrid, upon me. So that's part of the opening of Dracula's Guest, which, as we know now, highly likely to be the missing first chapter of the novel Dracula. And we're going to have some music now, quite fitting music. It's from the soundtrack to Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula film. This is Annie Lennox and Love Song for a Vampire.
Beating
We're nearly at the end of the episode, but it's now opportunity time on Words and Sound. And first up, we have a bit of a general website I found called openculture.com/free-online-courses. And the resources here are really astounding. This is especially good while we're all in isolation at the moment. There's online courses comprised of document packs, videoed lectures and podcast recordings on just about every subject you can imagine. And they're covering languages, philosophy, music, quantum physics, the literally huge list of many, many topics. So really do check that out, have a look. I've started a couple myself and I think it's really, really brilliant. There's bound to be something that you could get your teeth into and learn while we're all at home at the moment. So do go and check that out. Second up this week, we've got Radio Monologues by Kick It Down Productions. They're a newly established production company and they're on the lookout for monologues that work in a radio format. The monologues will be recorded by professional actors and streamed live on their website. The writing can be about absolutely anything and they want writers to be highly innovative in how they approach this opportunity. The only thing they ask is that the monologues are no longer than 3 minutes. Every single monologue Kick It Down receive will get feedback and the deadline on that is April the 20th. The contact details are, could you please email the scripts to kickitdownprod@gmail.com with Radio Monologue as your title. And finally this week, a new platform called A Writer's Lighthouse, which is a resource for people to get creative and writing. The site is being launched soon and will have articles, blogs and advice. But at the moment during isolation, A Writer's Lighthouse is offering free Zoom sessions on different aspects of creative writing. The links you need are via Facebook. No point in me reading that out. I'm sure it'll be very, very long, so I'll put it in the podcast description. But the first session is Saturday the 11th of April at 3 p.m. on Children's Online Creative Writing. The following week is the 18th at 10:30, is exploring flash fiction. And then finally, on the 25th of April, there is short story writing. You can contact them, contact@awriterslighthouse.com. And all of those links will be in the podcast description and Phoenix FM website. And a final call out as well, if you do want to make me some music for this little bit, a little jingle or a little bed I can speak over, that would be fantastic. I'd really, really appreciate that, as I really think it needs something. And that's it for another episode. Thank you so much for joining me, and of course I hope you enjoyed it. Really hope you enjoyed David Bowie's Black Star and Dracula's Guest. Don't forget you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @CW_STAGG, or you can email me chris@cwstag.com. We have time for one more song. It's a good one. It's Cerise by Ghost. Take care. I'll see you soon.
I can see through the scars inside you. I can feel the thunder that's breaking in your heart. I can see through the scars inside you. Can you hear the thunder that's breaking? Now there is nothing between us. From now our work is eternal. Can't you see that you're lost? Can't you see that you're lost without me? I can feel the thunder. I can see through the scars inside you. I can feel the thunder that's breaking in your heart. I can see through the scars.